Well, this morning we're going to begin to head in a little bit different direction. We're probably going to be into this month anyhow. We're going to be talking about some things about dealing with the time that we're in, even with the season and things we're in. Folks know that I'm not a holiday preacher per se. You know, I've just always thought it was sort of change. I just didn't sort of figure God followed holidays, but most church world practices, you know, whatever, they got the message for the holiday that's there. It is. I don't know if it reaches people. God never deals with me like that. And so when God has me something on a holiday, to me, that's unusual. I don't, because if he wants to say something, because I found out, you know, there's things that people need all the time, and you just, you know, the holiday message, especially from the church world standpoint, there's too little people know about the Bible to be just having the same messages on the same holidays. That people need taught. But we're going to look at some things. And one of the things that I just titled it, The Signs of the Coming Messiah, because we deal with Christmas time, and everybody focuses on the Messiah that came there. And it's nothing about, you know, matter with that. But what we do is most of the time the focus is just about that. Well, it's number one, everything in the Bible is not much good to us if it only speaks of the time then. If that's what it speaks to, well then, and what it has been, it's just been stories. It doesn't really, we like to hear the nice and that stuff, but it don't do anything for people's lives. The scripture should always speak to us in our time. Scripture should always speak to us. There all should always be revelation of scriptures. It's like when the Lord spoke to me and said to me concerning the end times, he said, I'm going to teach you some things about the end times. And then he used the scripture where it says that God reveals the end from the beginning. He said, I'm going to take you to the book of Genesis, and I'll show you a foundation of everything that deals with the end times. And when I went back over and started studying the book of Genesis, I found out, man, the patterns, the types and shadows of the things to come are all laid out in there, looking ahead. Now, they don't come by just because you read the Bible. You know, the Holy Ghost got to be revealing it, because I had read through Genesis many times before that and never saw that stuff. And it wasn't until the Holy Spirit was revealing to me and wanted to reveal things. And you need to know that is one of the things you need to ask God to reveal stuff to you. You know, I'm nothing wrong with, you know, just, you know, reading through the Bible every year. But, you know, reading through the Bible, you might read through it in a couple of stories, but most people that read the Bible through every year, it is surface reading. And it's nice, you might pick up, but you know what? I found this out on daily reading type things, I never get into much depth. Don't take me to too much deep. One of the things is finding out, especially at the time, what's important in our time? What's important today? You know, there's things that were important years ago that aren't important today. And so one of the things is for you and I to find out, what's God saying? What does God want to say in this time? I know that you need to understand this about yourself. You don't many times know what you really need. You think you do. Many times we're praying and ask God for things, and that ain't really what we need. We don't see it. And this is one of the things I learned to be led by the Holy Spirit. I tell the Lord all the time, you know, could you tell me what I really need? Is there something I don't see? And I'm surprised sometimes what I don't see. Amen. And so we need to understand that. You know, if anybody knows you, God knows you. And God knows, especially speaking to your future. Do you really know what you need in your future? Do you really know? Lots of times we think what we'd like to have for our future. But then when future events come, we go, oh my God, I need this and I need that. We didn't see that. You know, it's like in 2014 when the Lord spoke to me concerning finances about giving and things like that. He commended me concerning Wanda and I and our giving and all those things he went through us with. But he said this, I want you to change concerning your giving and how you look at it. He said, I want you to start looking. He said, when things come along, you know how to believe and bring the money in when you need money. But he said, I want you to start sowing for the future. He said, I want you to start calling things in for the future. So when you get there, it's there waiting for you. I want you to do that. Well, I said, nobody ever told me that. I didn't know that. Never heard that taught. So he showed me some things, and he showed me what I was supposed to do. And not only that, he explained to me what I needed to do to prove to me. See, you know, God wants to prove you that the word's true. Amen. He wants to prove to you. He said, so this is what I want you to do. And he told me, he said, now, he didn't tell me you had to give a bunch more. He didn't do the preacher thing. You know, well, if you want this, you got to start. No, he already told me we're good givers. We're giving. So if I'm a giver, then I can call things in the future concerning that. I'm already sowing in that direction. So he told me what to do. He said, I want you to believe for a certain amount of money. I want you to call that in. Well, Wanda and I were doing good at the time. We didn't actually have a need for that money. But he said, I want you to call that money in. Well, we did. In a short period of time, that money came to us. Then he said, when you do that, when you got that, he said, now you double it and call in such and such amount of money. You double what you're believing for. And then that took place. And then he went and surprised me big time. He said, I want you to call in next. I called in the next amount. And he went so far over the top. He did about four or five times that. Brought it in. But what he was trying to show me is this calling to your future. Not what you... See, most people are believing for now. And see, we need to be able to see ahead. Things were written in scriptures for men to see ahead. Think about this. I'm going to talk because we're in a season. Israel as a nation missed the Messiah coming, yet they were looking. They say they were looking for the Messiah. We talk about Jesus returning, but most Christians really don't know much about it. And even most Christians that think they know something about it don't know much about it. We don't see what's around us because God's revealing. God doesn't do anything. It's just when the Messiah came, God was revealing. Man wasn't seeing. Man was seeing religiously what he was taught, but didn't have revelation about what God was doing. Yet we find there was a small number. We know there's a guy in the temple and he's in there, you know, he's looking for the Messiah and God shows him who the Messiah is supposed to be. So Lord told him, he said, you know, because he said the Lord had told him that he wouldn't leave this earth till he saw the Messiah. So God told him one day, Jesus was being taken into the temple, really, at that time, really for his consecration and that stuff. And Mary had gone through her cleansing and stuff and going into the temple. And God tells him, go to the temple. You see, God's going to do things to reveal to us. God never does things from the standpoint hidden. But it's hidden to man if man doesn't know what God's doing, if man is following. See, the religious people of Jesus' day thought they knew what was going on. But they didn't. They didn't recognize the Messiah. They didn't know the Messiah was there on them. Why? Because they had their idea of what the Messiah was. Their idea. So when God was revealing it, you know, in fact, yesterday, the Lord gave me a revelation of things in the scripture. And I could tell people read it so many times and read it over and over. People read it. And the Lord all of a sudden showed me about this happening. And he said, that's this. And I looked and I thought, my God, that's exactly right. Other scripture verifies it. Never heard anybody ever say it. Why? Because we get in our ideas. I've heard people take the same scriptures and use those same scriptures to teach stuff. And I know now what they were teaching. Because, you know, I never was satisfied about what was taught with that because I thought, you know, some of it didn't make sense. But man tries to figure it out in his mind how it is when the Holy Ghost is not teaching. And here I am walking along, minding my own business, and the Holy Ghost reveals it, and all of a sudden, it made all kind of sense. It's like, oh my goodness. There it was, laying in front of us the whole time. There it is. It's like, huh, it was so simple. But see, I had ideas. See, I was looking in a different direction. Thank God he awakened me to look in the right direction. One of the things we're dealing with is the time. Charles Capps talked about the blind, you know, a Venetian blind, where you'd have that blind, it's open and closed. The closer you get to that blind, you're able to see things. We're closer to things now to see things. There's things you need to see that you're closer to, that you need to see. You know, I don't want to only know Jesus is coming back someday. I want to know what he's doing. I want to know what he's doing now. The Bible talks about things of signs and different things. They had signs of their times. There are signs of our times. There's things that we can see, things we can understand. And so, are they done in their time? See, because some people say, well, some of these things in Scripture, we could see this back there then. Well, if you could see it back there then. But in our time, we have to know if we're really getting close. I've heard since I came in the kingdom, in 1880, Jesus was already supposed to be here 47 times. So I know this. The church don't know a whole lot about the subject, and we said too much because it has confused people. And the more it gets said, the more people get deaf to it. keep preaching it wrong, and people, after what? It ain't working. After what, they quit listening to it. So there's things that we need to see and know. There's things that I can verify, that I can look now, that I can see from a standpoint that God's doing. That's what I want to know. You know, what I don't see, I shouldn't be talking like I see it. You know, how many people have stood up and said, you know, I'm going to be here when Jesus comes back. The Lord told me so. And we done had their funerals. God didn't say it. They kept putting that in themselves and putting it in themselves till they thought God was saying it. It wasn't. They put that in themselves. God didn't. They put it in themselves. See, this is one thing. Everybody has to be careful on this stuff. You got to be led by the Spirit. Every one of us. We got to be led by the Spirit. We need to get over the things and say, hey, hold it. What is God doing? I want to know. Well, there's some things we can look at from some obvious things. One of the things we're going to look at is that when the Messiah was coming, one of the things he was doing, we're going to look at the ministry of John the Baptist today, because there's some things that we can see in John concerning Christ coming again. What's the pattern that God did? One thing is, I've learned about this in Scripture, and I didn't learn about it because I was so bright. The Holy Spirit don't teach. I learned this, that when God does things, He changes not. And you will find His patterns all through the Bible, how He operates. If God just changes, then you can never really know Him. If He could just change anytime and He could be anything, you know, then you don't really know Him. We know Him. One of the things that I've learned is His consistency of the Word is God. Does He change tomorrow? See, hey, everybody believes in Jesus' healing ministry. How many Christians believe in it today? He changed. See, God's changed to most people. He did. He'd open the Red Sea, but He wouldn't do that today. He's changed. See, this is one thing that stops the move of God, because most people, really, they believe the Bible and said, yeah, we believe the Bible's true, but it ain't true in their life today. He won't do that now. It won't happen. Like it happened to them, it doesn't happen to us. We all have to overcome these things, because the voices out here have told us things that were true, but then they sort of minimize it at this time in this age. Just because you're a Christian, you don't need none of that. I'm sorry. Tell the Christians that. Every time something goes wrong, they call me for a miracle. People don't believe in them till they want one. Oh, God does that. Well, then what are you asking me for? Hallelujah. But we want to look at John the Baptist, because John, Jesus is coming, and God sent an individual to announce that coming. The Messiah is coming. Now, He sent someone. People have an opportunity to believe. It's today. God has done things, and people ain't believing it. And I'm going to tell you what, the Spirit-filled church is just in the same problem a lot of the church world's in. God has sent signs, and we have signs, and we need to do that thing. It's number one, He will send signs as things go along. He will reveal it like He did in Scripture. He'll reveal it in our time in the same manner. He'll do it in the same ways. He will do things in the same manner. He changes not. So we find it. Well, God announced He was going to send John, but who this John the Baptist? In John, the first chapter, the Gospel of John, it says in verse 6, says that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through he might believe. It said He was not that light, but He was to bear witness of that light. So John the Baptist, this is the one. So he's the one that the Scripture really is speaking about here. He is sent for a purpose. His purpose was to bear witness that the light was coming, which was Christ. He was the one to bear witness. And said, he was an individual specifically picked for that purpose. Now, it wasn't hidden from man. One of the things that we see there in the 15th verse says, John bore witness, so he did it, of him, and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. In other words, John had a revelation. John is doing what he did. John is bringing a revelation to the people. We need to understand it. It's the same thing today. To the church world, God, God's not going to send you a star in the sky to see. Why? We're the church already. We're supposed to be believers. John, God will bear witness with the word of what the word said. He will bring someone along to bear witness of the word. In other words, to bring light concerning revelation. This is one thing I also like about Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin, in his, all the times that he got caught up to heaven, what he would do, the revelations he received, he would always take those scriptures. That's what he would do. He would come and take the revelation of the scripture. This is what the Lord showed me here in the scriptures. In other words, bring light. We're going to find that John is a fulfillment of scripture. The scriptures have already been said. John comes and he announces, really, okay, just as Jesus came and said, hey, he's the fulfillment of being the Messiah. John says, you know, hey, I'm the guy that's bearing witness. I'm the guy. I'm the dude. Now, people had a choice to believe it or not. People had a choice. See, this is one, you need to be led to the Spirit. Is God talking? Or is it just you? Is you know, I've heard people proclaim a lot of things and they weren't what they said. The Holy Spirit didn't bear witness with it. See, you and I are in a different level and place. We have the Spirit. See, we're talking about the Holy Presence in us. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Presence in us. You and I are to be led by the Spirit. Do you know God's talking? Notes of people don't know if God's saying it or not because they have their religious beliefs, and somebody comes along, even can be scriptural, and they don't believe it because they have their beliefs. Hey, we can all do it. Or we have limited revelation in an area, and somebody speaks, and, well, that ain't speaking. I don't know. Yeah, I remember Kenneth Hagin teaching stuff, and I mean, some of it almost choked me. I mean, it's like, well, hold it, we were never taught this. And then I'd go over and study the scripture and find, you know, he's right. He was right. But see, people don't. People have tendency to do this. They just turn it off. This is what Israel did. Israel turned it off. Israel turned the thing off. This isn't what we... You know. Yet they could quote you every one of the scriptures about John. They could tell you all about it. They could tell you all about John. I see people today, they can tell you all about things in the Bible, but they can't make it work or get a thing. Can't do a thing with it. They don't understand that they don't understand. Hallelujah. See, one of the things, this is where humility comes in, is where you come to the point, and as I've come to this thing, Holy Ghost is really bright, and if Ed ever got bright, it's because the light shone on him. It wasn't because Ed was bright. God hasn't chose many wise. If you think you're wise here today, get a life. You need one. He chose me. Why? Because he didn't choose many wise. I know that for sure. I fit that category. He didn't choose. I don't know unless God chose me. I don't know. I have wonderful ideas about some stuff in Scripture, but it's just ideas. I have got no verifications of the Holy Ghost itself. So I ain't going to preach it. We have too much fanaticism preached today, things and stuff, with people of real knowledge, but talking about stuff. We need to hear from heaven. People need to know when heaven's talking or not. The believer needs to know when heaven's speaking. See, I need to know. Like Brother Hagin used to always tell us, he said, look, don't just take it because I said it. You go study. See if the Bible says it. See if it teaches it. See, you go and let the Holy Ghost teach you. You'll find it. Is it true? Is it right? That's what you want to do. But see, that takes time. And so you don't get that at McDonald's. You just pull in and run out, you know. Get in there, get you ordered your burger, and we're on the road, see. Well, I ain't got time to be reading that. It's your job, minister, to go and do all this and do it for me. And then when things come and turn sour, it's your job to get your Harry Potter wand out and wave that thing over me, make this thing work. That's what you got to do. That's what we're paying you for. Oh, my God, that's good preaching. Anyhow, but we find in Isaiah the 40th chapter, I'm just going to read you some scriptures here that spoke of John the Baptist. We want to verify, is John the guy? Is this the one? We need to know from Scripture. We don't need another story. We need to know the Scripture verifies these things. Hallelujah, because, see, of the signs of the times. So in other words, the Messiah is coming, and the Messiah is coming, and God is fulfilling Scripture. He'll do the same today. Fulfill Scripture. He will reveal to us through Scripture of things. That's one thing is I really always admired. I understood when I started Kenneth Hagin said the Lord would tell him things. He had no idea times the scriptures ever said the things that Jesus said. And he'd say, well, I ain't going to tell that to anybody unless you give me two or three witnesses in the Word. I got to see that. He even told the Lord one time, I've read the Bible 150 times and portions of it more. And he said, I never saw anything like that. And the Lord said to him, he said, he smiled kindly and said, there's a lot in there you don't know. And I've always took that as this. He must have been talking to Ed. Because there's a lot in there I don't know. I'll tell you, if I would take over the last 10 years the revelations that I've gotten in Scripture, I am amazed all my years as a Christian before that how dumb I was. And now, since He's taught me some things, I can see how dumb I am. Because it is, the more, now He gives revelation and I think, now I got, there's more things I need to get some understanding of. Now I can see this and it opened a light up to that. Now what about that? Huh. Here we go again. I need light on something. Well, Isaiah 40 at verse 3 says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. It was the announcement. There's going to be a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Now, this was a common thing known among the Jews. The Jews knew this verse, man. They knew it. And they were looking for this one. Now, in the book of Malachi, we're going to go over to Malachi, the third chapter, because Malachi speaks in two different places, and Malachi speaks concerning this one to come. Malachi was the last book of the Old Testament. So it's pretty good that they end the Old Testament in Malachi with the announcement about this one that's going to come, that's going to announce the coming of the Messiah. So it's sort of, you know, God's pretty neat the way He does stuff. You know, He turned around and put that right into Malachi, the end of the Old Testament. So in the New Testament, what do we have? We come over the New Testament to the Gospels, and what do they have? The announcement, John's here. Here John's on the scene. Here he is. See, God has a plan. You know, man didn't sit down and figure out how to put those books together to do that. God inspired him. You know, how many times have you ever done something, and after you did it, you stop and say, my God, God was in that thing. I didn't even know it. I learned this. Many times we're unconsciously led by the Spirit. We do something and don't realize what we're doing at the time. We're just following something that's in us to do, and we do it and say, oh my God, God was in that. Amen. Wow. Right in the middle of that thing. At the time when I was doing, I just thought I was just doing something. But oh, it was God working. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? That's God working. Hallelujah. Well, God set things in motion. Men put scriptures together and thought they did it. Hallelujah. It was God doing it. God was working. Well, in Malachi, the third chapter in verse 1 says this, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Now, I want you to say this. This is a prophecy. Many times prophecy really has more than one fulfillment. It has a fulfillment at the time that it's speaking right at the time of, also in the future. What's going to happen? Well, hear this, what he says. He makes this statement. He says to them there, he said, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming. It's very interesting. Isn't this interesting? Because see, the prophet, John the Baptist, announced the coming of the Lord. And where is it? The Lord does show up at his temple. Jesus goes and ministers in the temple. He does those things. But you know what? There's going to be two prophets before Jesus returns in the last 3.5 years. Before Jesus comes, he's going to enter his temple again. It's going to happen. Same thing. See, God changes not. God's not going to do something. God's not doing something different. He's not doing something different. And Malachi, the fourth chapter, says this. Fourth chapter, verse 5, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Here he's saying Elijah's coming. Now here, see, is one of the things is why you have to get yourself over it. Let God teach you. The Jews really thought Elijah was coming back. They actually thought Elijah would come. Today, there's ministers who think concerning one of those two prophets that they're going to be at the end, and it's going to be Elijah. I'm just telling you, it is not. It's not. Elijah and Moses ain't going to be the guys. They ain't coming back to save the world. If God can't use the people here, He ain't near as big as He said He was. Now, I want to show you, because we're going to find out about this thing. There's the Elijah. He said Elijah's going to come. And Jesus announced who, Jesus, we're going to find out, said Elijah did come. Huh. Elijah came. You see, when people interpret the scriptures for themselves, when they do that, you're going to have a problem. We don't interpret scripture. I'm not, you know, it's just like interpreting tongues. If the gift ain't there, don't do it. Don't do it. If the Holy Ghost ain't working, it's just to you. Because we want to find out. Let's go to, see, this is what the Old Testament announces. Here's the New Testament. This is Jesus. See, it's like, I go over this thing. If Jesus said it, it's the last word we need on it. We don't need another voice. We don't need it. Hallelujah. Because I'm going to say this to you. Some of you, I don't know if you person you've seen or not, but I have witnessed the Elijah of my generation. I've witnessed him. We're going to talk about it. See, God already sent an Elijah, but most people don't even know it. Why? Because men interpret scriptures, think they're smart, know everything. Now, Matthew in verse 17, this is what Jesus said. Matthew 17. Now, Jesus, I'm at verse 12. Jesus says, but I say to you that Elijah has come already. And they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. Likewise, the Son of Man is also about to suffer at their hands. See, they didn't know the Elijah, and they didn't know the Messiah. Yet, they quoted the scriptures. This is why Jesus is saying it, because this is what the Jews said, Elijah. It's like people go, well, Elijah and Moses are going to be there. It's like, get a life. Follow scripture. If you follow through scripture, you'll find out, because see, you know, Elisha had the same ministry that Elijah had, but he had a double portion of the anointing. It was as if Elijah was in the earth again. With a double portion of the anointing. Because it's about the anointing. It ain't about the man. We follow men, and we got to knock this stuff off. We don't follow anointings. We follow men. See, everybody's looking for the man. Where's the man? Where's the man? I'm looking for the man, Jesus. That's the man I'm looking for. Let's point to the man. We're not following man. Listen. Listen to what he says. Then the disciples understood he spoke to them of John the Baptist. He spoke of John the Baptist was the Elijah to come. He had the spirit of Elijah on him. The same. It is about the anointing, folks. It's not about the man. It's about the anointing. See, you got to learn to know God lingo when He talks. You learn God's lingo by studying. I learned to learn God's lingo going back in the Old Testament to see how He talked and what He did, and being able to interpret some things that are in the New Testament. Because looking at what He talked about back then, Jesus Himself said that John the Baptist was the Elijah. So the Elijah that was announcing the first coming of the Messiah was John the Baptist. He was. That was a fulfillment of those Christians. That's a partial fulfillment. It's not the full fulfillment. He was the Elijah to come at that time to announce Him. That's who He was. The Jews, Orthodox Jews, are still waiting for Elijah to come. See, they don't believe that John the Baptist was there. They don't believe him. They don't believe John the Baptist. So they're still waiting for the Elijah to come. The sad thing, the nation of Israel will have, they're going to have two guys, but they're going to be in the middle of the greatest disaster of their nation that they have ever seen. They wouldn't have to be. They could accept the Messiah and would never have to face that time period. But they'll face that time period because of their beliefs. See, because of our beliefs, we're going to go. Because if their beliefs are going to stay. Your beliefs are going to determine whether you go or stay. That's what it is. Now, you want a revelation from God. You don't want a revelation from a man. You want to know God's talking. You want to know God's speaking to you. God is saying these things. Luke made this statement concerning what Jesus said concerning John the Baptist. He said, "For I say to you," he said, "among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist." There wasn't one greater. "But he who is the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." That's us. We're the least in the kingdom, he said, is greater than him. So in other words, under the old covenant, was nobody greater than that prophet. Elijah. See, we put people on pedestals. God don't. We think what's great. We don't even know what's great, what God calls great. Do you know John the Baptist? We don't have him ever perform one miracle. You don't have one miracle, not one time. In fact, if we would take from a prophet's perspective, we don't. The only thing we have, he recognized Jesus and said, "Hey, this is the Lamb of God. Take away the sin of the world." That's really the only prophetic thing that he actually said that we haven't recorded. Jesus said, "He's the biggest prophet there was. This guy's on the top of the list." Huh? Would it be nice? If Jesus said he's on the top of the list, he is. That's it. I don't care what anybody else says. You can pick your favorite. Do whatever you want. Hallelujah. I'm picking Jesus' favorite. If you want revelation, go with Jesus. Go with Jesus. And you'll get further revelation. See, he was. You know why? This man came. He's announcing the greatest thing on earth. Elijah never had an announcement like this guy had. Elijah. You know, it's a humbling thing. That you get to be the guy that's going to announce the coming of the Messiah. Huh? That's a huge, you know what? You don't want some big head. You want a guy sitting around here just throwing prophecies out here and half of them are wrong. You don't want that kind of stuff. This is the thing. You know, he was for what he's called to do, he was sure a humble guy. He didn't sure try to make himself of any big thing. And so, there's things that we can actually look at concerning patterns, but I want you to see these things because of this John the Baptist. What was this John the Baptist? What was his mission? What did he do? Well, it's Matthew 3, and we want to look at verses. I'm just going to read, we're not going to read all the things we could. This is just some of them. Matthew 3, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. It says, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea." Isn't it interesting? He's out in the wilderness preaching. He don't come to the towns and go, "Hey." This is what today. Christians, if it ain't easy to get to and ain't easy, I ain't doing it. If it isn't comfortable, I ain't doing it. He's following the place. I want you to see this about God. Because we're going to find this. Did you ever think about this with the coming of the Messiah? The Messiah is coming. The people that God reveals himself and shows him are nobodies that are not high in a hierarchy, out away from everybody else. Well, if he really wanted to know, why didn't he come? Why? Because all the religious people knew exactly where the Messiah was going to be. They knew all the stuff. They aren't in a search for it. They think, they have this idea that because I belong to the right group, God will come and show me. Ain't the way it works. The pattern changes not. Jesus said this to Kenneth Hagin, "Many of my people will not be ready to meet me at my coming." Why? They're just going to follow the group. They're going to follow. That's what they're going to do. People are following the group today. They're not listening to the Holy Spirit. There's voices saying, the Lord told me back in 1987, I was getting a message ready, and he said this to me, and he said, before he returns, he said this. He said, the main message that's going to be preached is that Jesus Christ is returning. It's going to be the main message. People are going to be telling they're leaving. I'm going to tell you what, people start doing that, you're going to get more scoffing and mockery in the church for saying it. And there's people ain't going to say it because they don't, I don't want anybody to give me a hard time. We're coming to the time of leaving. Amen. The crowd don't know it, and a lot of the crowd ain't going to know it. Now, that don't sound right. You know, we're believing big revival. Everybody's going to be wonderful. Get over it. I read the book. It don't happen in that manner. You know, when Jesus said, He said, the way to life is narrow and few there be that find it. I wonder if He lied when He said that. See, we need to be careful about, I believe it's in the Bible, many people come in, but I tell you, many people won't. You're going to be shocked in the church world how the move of God will be turned down. You're going to be shocked. Why? Because we got this nice system. Just like the Pharisees did, they had a system. They were making good money doing it. They got a system that's running. I don't want anything touching my system. Because, you know, I'm at the top of the list. I tell everybody what to do and they all go, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Uh-huh. That's what they like. They become lords over people there. People, and you know what? Don't blame them. People love to be lorded over by them. You know, you go find what God says, you tell me everything, and I just sit here and I ain't the way it works.
Preach.
Ain't the way it works. So John the Baptist, he's in the wilderness. He's out there preaching the wonderful message of people that the church wants to hear today. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. You understand this? God required his people to come to him. See, and it's today. Many people want God, but they will not seek him. Many people want, they don't know how the system works because they're used to this. You call the prayer chain, they'll do your praying. You do this, that. You have this problem, you get this. You do that. People don't seek for themselves. God sent the messenger out there in the wilderness. He's down there by the Jordan. You know, man, we got a church in town here. Why would I go? Why would we go out there? Go out there and look at this guy, and he's out here, and he's wearing camel's hair. He lives in the desert, and he eats wild locusts and honey. Why would we go there? I'm going to the steak-eating preacher. This guy's weird. He's weird. God sent him. He is what God wants him to be.
Amen. Praise God.
Really, he's acting like the Old Testament prophets who were real prophets. They wore a mantle. That mantle was an animal skin. It wasn't. They didn't run around in fine clothing. They didn't do that. But he was the prophet. But God has him in the wilderness. In other words, you got to go seek God. You got to go out. If that's God. See, people want, you know, you got a move of God today. People want, you know, sometimes I want to know, is there a move of God? You know, like down in Florida, I want to know, is there a move of God? And I was talking to God about that. He said, go down. See, you go down and find out what is and what ain't. See, nobody wants to even check anything out today. They don't know. You move of God. You know, if God wants one here, we'll have it here. Good luck. I've learned to follow patterns. How's God working? What's he speaking to? What is he speaking to? What's he saying? I find this. Ministers do this all the time. You know, big name ministers, they do this. You get a move of God somewhere, they'll start calling that place. They want to go there and preach. It ain't your revival. Go down there and sit down and listen. Keep your blab mouth shut. God's using them. You sit here and you listen. Don't know how, you know, as soon as they see something that's going to, I get down there and I get to preach here. I get my name on it. Folks, I've watched it and seen it. People want to, no. Somebody else gets fire, go sit under it, let it get, catch you on fire. Get what they got. They don't. If you had any fire, you'd have been the one down there burning.
Amen.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
I just get a meddling, you know. In Mark said concerning John, and here we have about John, the first chapter Mark speaks of him, and the fourth verse says John. It says, John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. I want you to understand that. That is the same message Jesus preached. In his ministry, he preached. Why? Remission of sin. You need to understand this. It's getting ready right now. That's the message God's talking to the church. Christians need to repent. Christians need to get their lives in line. Jesus pleased. See, the Messiah's coming. Get right. Jesus said, many of my people ain't going to be ready. There, I'm okay. I'm all right. You know, I have my beliefs and I'm good. You know, I believe in Jesus. Jesus said, ones will call him Lord, Lord. But they ain't going to enter the kingdom. They ain't going to get in.
Amen.
Just because you call me Lord, don't mean you're getting in. He said, those who do the will of my Father.
Amen. Preach.
Huh. Say, hold it. My Bible must have blotted out them scriptures. I don't ever remember reading that. I got a new version. It's much better. It says, then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. This is a very interesting thing, because they went out there, got baptized, but push came to shove, they joined the Pharisees and killed him. Because the Messiah, his guy's out here to confess your sins, doing it. They turn around, Herod kills John. Yeah, well, big, that's gone. That's gone now. You know, he's gone. Nothing. The Messiah's walking around. They don't know. They don't know what's going on at all. He's out doing miracles. He's out. They all, hey, they go down. Give me what you got, but I ain't following you. See, I found this out. When you get a lot of times, you know, you get, say, like a big revival, revivals break out. I watched this already. People come because there's a move of God, and God comes, blesses people, do things happen. But when the smoke clears, you'll find that there's usually a small percentage who actually continue to walk in that. The rest of them slowly fade away off to the side. Why? They came for what they could get. This wasn't about following anybody. One of the things, we need to preach a gospel of discipleship. We need to be honest with people. I tell people, if you're not going to continue and follow walk with him, you're wasting your time going through some confession.
Amen. Preach.
It ain't going to work. You've got to follow him. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my word.
Amen.
See, that's the disciples. Discipleship is following something, not discipleship is not going out here and, you know, well, I just believe Jesus. You know, I believe in it, but I don't follow it, don't walk in it. It's not what it is. Well, he goes and says, now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist. I mean, I bet he looked like a nice tuxedo, didn't it? I'm sure. And he ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached saying, there comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal straps I am not worthy to stoop down and loosen. I indeed baptize with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
You know, that's a humbling message. This guy, he got the crowd. He said, I ain't the man. I'm just announcing the man. See, you can build your own kingdom. Many today have built their own kingdom. They have their own ministries, and they're big. But it amplifies them and not Christ. I ain't the man.
Amen.
Jesus, I'm just telling you, the man's coming.
Hallelujah.
The man is coming. I ain't the man. The man is coming. I ain't worthy to tie his shoes.
Amen.
I ain't worthy. I ain't even worthy to get on my knees and tie his shoes.
Amen.
He be the man, and he's coming. There needs to be a humbling in the church. That's true repentance. True repentance is humbly say, man, if it wouldn't be Jesus, I wouldn't even be here. It wouldn't be for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not doing any great things. Like Kenneth Hagin used to say, people come down, they had won him for healing. And he said, I don't heal anybody. He said, I couldn't heal a gnat's eyeball. He said, Jesus is the healer.
Amen.
I can't do those things. Man, people act like today they can do it. We don't do it. Hallelujah. He doesn't. See, we always got to focus, put the focus on who the big guy is. The big guy's coming back.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, the big guy comes back, I want to be ready. I don't want to be him come back and say, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
Say, well, I called you Lord. I did all these things in your name. And he says, go away. I never knew you.
Mm-hmm.
Said, I did all these things. Yeah, you did them for you. Said, it's about him. See, we're talking about the pattern is not changed. Jesus returning, the signs are the same. They don't change. The message will not change. It's always getting ready. You know, if you took, say, like back in, if you were in one of the countries of years past and the king, if the king was coming, I mean, people did all kinds of things. You got prepared for the king. The king showing up, ain't nothing's going to be the same. You know, what you thought was good enough ain't ever good enough now. This is what you, everything changes. The king's coming. Why? He's the Lord over everything. He shows up and he says, you're out, you're out. No matter what you say, he has the last say. Christians don't believe that, do you, that Jesus has the last say on things. You know, I found this out. I don't get the last say. I don't get it. He's the king. He gets the last say overall.
Amen.
We got to come to this place, what it really means to submit it to a Lord. Amen. What he is. This is God coming back, folks. This isn't your favorite preacher showing up at your house. This is God. God is coming. What's God going to say? It's like God ain't going to know if Ed's an idiot. Like God ain't going to know if I don't serve him. He ain't going to, wow. You know? See, we what happened? We followed men, therefore we treat God like a man. It's time to humble. Why? Amen. I'm going to tell you, the kings are coming.
Hallelujah.
The kings are coming. Hallelujah. Our kings are coming. Hallelujah. And all he did is ask you to take a bath. Get cleaned up, folk! Get that junk off of you that's been on you. Get it off of you. The kings are coming. Hallelujah. You know, this is just out of reverence to him. It's just out of honor to him. That's what it is. It's just honor to him. Treating him like who he is. There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal straps I am not worthy to stoop down and loosen. I indeed baptize you with water, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now I want to talk to you about this because I was going to go in. I have in the bulletin, I put in there about John the Baptist, about his birth, which we will eventually go to, I don't know today, but I want to talk to you about the John the Baptist of our time. We have one. And you know what? In the same manner he came. Obscure. People don't seek God to find out who's who and what's what. What's God, who's God using? What's he doing? And so we want to talk about it. I want to talk to you. And look, now just like John the Baptist. I'm not glorifying the man. He's just a guy came and God gave him a voice. God had him announce things. You know, this man was called to something and he wouldn't talk about it. He wouldn't talk about himself in it. Wasn't until his later years before he left, he finally admitted because some others went to him and talked to him about it. About it. About God's using what God told him and what he had seen, not just himself. Here we have a thing. And who I'm talking about is Kenneth E. Hagin. What he was called to in the earth. We need to understand the importance. And we want to share because he was an Elijah of our generation, of our time. That's what he was. He was Elijah. Actually, he came in the spirit of Elijah. Same thing. The same operation. Elijah. Now, that doesn't mean he had exactly the Elijah's prophecy. It's just like John the Baptist didn't. But there's an anointing. You know, people, you know, we limit the anointing to just certain things and certain stuff. It's because we don't understand how God works. You know. The anointings we have in our life, lots of it we never step into or ever even know about. But God's using. But I want you to see this. You know, Kenneth E. Hagin, his mom was Lily Hagin. And in her family, she ended up marrying a guy that her parents tried to talk her out of. And he came from a very well-to-do family and stuff like that. But he had this problem. He was a spoiled brat. He was the only young, just in the family, and he was the only boy, and the rest of them were girls, and everybody babied him and did anything for him and want. His grandparents understood that. They understood that this guy, he was not going to be a good provider because he never worked or ever did nothing. See, they were always taking care of him. Well, she made this statement. She said, Well, if I marry him and it turns out bad, she said, you know, I make my bed hard, I'll live in it. But she didn't realize she made her bed hard, and she made it hard on her children. You don't want to have kids in a bad marriage. Don't think having kids is going to change anybody. Don't ever even get that little stupid thought in your stupid little mind. These are the days to get blunt because, hey, folks, I'm just telling you, life ain't going to get any prettier. We're running out on the end of this thing. If you can't take it now, you won't take it tomorrow. Woo! We're in the end of this thing. We're not in a battle getting trainees. Amen. We're in a battle, we need soldiers.
Hallelujah.
Man, the bombs are going off, the stuff's happening. I mean, it's just we're in this thing. Hallelujah. And we've got to become one of those things unmovable. Unchangeable. We're going to follow God no matter whatever goes on.
Hallelujah.
We're sticking with God no matter what happens. I'm going to be like God. I'm going to change not. I'm just going to keep walking, keep following what's right. We're in that day. And it's hard for people today. It's hard. Why? They've been told when everything was real good, that's when Jesus was coming. They never thought but what people taught, that we were going to be in the situation and probably be worse till Jesus shows up. People never thought it. They were told by the preachers it wasn't going to happen. Before anything bad happens, we're leaving. I can tell you this. When I was no more than a week old, the Lord told me concerning about the end times, it wasn't going to be pretty. I was a week old as a Christian. But you didn't go around and tell people that because all the preachers and everybody liked who was all wonderful. That ain't happening. We're going. We're not going to be around when anything bad happens. All the bad comes after we go. America's going to be this glorious place. There's just going to be tiptoe through the tulips, and it's going to be this glorious, God-loving, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Yeah, here it is. Let me tell you something that the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said this. Now, I'm not talking about going through the tribulation, but you don't understand out here. Do you think the Antichrist ain't around yet? The Lord said this to me. The Lord spoke this. He said, he'll know who you are. That's what he said to me. He said, he'll know who you are.
Amen.
You see, today, even the natural standpoint, we publish all this stuff online and we do all this stuff. Everything about what we do and what we believe, if you're putting anything online, is out there. Or if you're just a nonsense to everybody else, and they might not know at all what you are. But I got a lot of messages out there. God, the devil's going to know who's in and who's not.
Amen.
He knows. He knows. The devil knows a lot more than you realize because of what he attacks and does. And just let me say this. Because there's some things you can learn by just watching how things go spiritually, how things are. I've watched this over the years. Because in the Bible, I started to see in the pattern. When God had somebody that he has called to do something, they were specifically targeted by the devil. Things would happen. I mean, we get a guy, Abraham. What happened? His wife can't produce a child. He's a guy that's supposed to bring offspring into the world. God ain't stopping him, his wife, from having babies. That's the curse. God ain't, and the curse is not being able to produce a child. That's the curse. So God, if God's doing it, then God has lied to us that we're not redeemed from the curse because he's the author of it. He didn't lie. And then I look, too. So what happens? Isaac comes along. His wife can't have a baby. These are the people that are supposed to put it off, you know. Hey, Jacob's, you know, his first love, the woman he loved the most, she couldn't produce kids. The devil is always, see, why? She produced Joseph. The devil knows what you're called to do and what God wants out of your life.
Amen.
In the realm of the spirit, somehow on us is known about our destiny. What God wants to do. Somehow, no. Let's take Oral Roberts. What does he do? He's a young boy. The devil's trying to kill him. has TB. He talked about it. I heard him talk about it. He's in his room. He's coughed. His walls in his room have blood on it from him coughing and splattering blood. And the devil's trying to... Kenneth E. Hagin. Devil's trying to kill him. Amen. There's something about... I don't know what it's all about, but I know this, that in the realm of the Spirit, you're not hidden. This is why when a Christian, you learn to get over in the Spirit. There's a lot of things you can see. The Holy Ghost don't have to tell you because there's things not hidden in the Spirit realm. You can see things. Amen. You can see things about callings on people. You can see things about stuff over in the Spirit. Because you follow, you can follow, you look down through history in the church of people we knew in history, how the devil tried to stop people who eventually we find out were called by God to do special things. And what happened to those individuals? Even as they were sinners, God, the devil tried to do all kinds of things to them. Why? There's things known over in the realm of the Spirit. There's things known in that realm. See, why is it that way? I don't know. I ain't God. I didn't create that realm. But there's things known over it. There's one thing that's about, see, that realm operates in a place of no time. Everything's now. You can see everything like it's supposed to be. So it operates differently than our realm here that we do in time. We see things what happens to people in time. But that it don't seem to be the way it is on the realm of the Spirit. It's like when Kenneth Hagin was caught up to heaven. One of the things that when his sister had died and he caught up to heaven, he saw Jesus and his sister talked to him. She said, up here, she said, we have no interest down there in the earth, what you guys have, where the cars land. We don't care how much money you have. She said, we have no interest in any of that whatsoever. She said, the only thing interest we have here, and we know whether you're walking with God or not. We know that. See, the people went before you. They know whether you're walking right or not. They know. Heaven knows. The people up there know. They're not cheering you on to buy a new car. They ain't interested in that. They ain't cheering you on to get this or get that or have this. They're not doing any of that. Amen. That's of no interest. They're cheering you on to walk with God. Hallelujah. That's what they're cheering you on for. See, my mommy and daddy are up there and they're cheering it on, man, keep following Jesus. They know whether I am or not. Hallelujah. You can't fool them. You can't fool the heavenly realm. You can't fool it. You can fool people here, but you can't fool God in His realm. We need to come to that. The people over there know whether or not we're following God or not. And you know what? They're the crowd that's looking down and cheering us on, man. Hey, follow God! Woo! Get God! Don't worry so much about that stuff. Follow the Lord! Hallelujah! Good preaching anyhow. Nothing matter with having stuff. You know, we do things here in this earth and it helps for, you know, we can help from the gospel standpoint. But that's not on the top of the list. We've put too many things on the top of the list that isn't as important. Amen. You know, as many people do many things concerning the gospel but have a lousy Christian life. There's people who get money and have lousy Christian lives. See, that's because I'm doing this over here. That ain't what makes it good. Amen. That's not what makes it good. See, we need to get over here to where, you know, start, you know, sharing these things as truth. Well, Lily, back to Lily Hagin. Her husband left her and she's got children and things are not good. In fact, you know, she's pregnant with Ken and They don't have decent food to eat. They don't have that. She's really starving out. But because of her pride, see, her tongue got her in a bunch of trouble. If I make a bed hard, I'm going to lay in it. So now she puts her word out and she's too bullheaded to say I was wrong. Mm. Gee, have you ever been there? Mm-hmm. Amen. Okay, you just joined her clan. So anyhow, she's too bullheaded to admit, but she finally got the point to realize that the baby in her is really in trouble because that baby isn't forming right in her. See, this wasn't God's work. See, whether she knew it or not, she was helping the devil. Staying bullheaded. Well, she finally said, you know, got the idea. I'm going to have to go. She's going to go down to her mama's house. She's going to her mama's house, who lives down from her. She's going to her mama's house because she needs food. She don't have. They're trying to help her, but she's bullheaded. She won't. She's going to do her own thing. Well, so she goes down, but God has a plan. So she's heading down to the road. Now she headed down the street. Now here's what it said. So she finally, you know, she gets around. She's gonna do something. It said as she walked down the dirt street headed toward her parents' house, she heard the sound of wind blowing through trees. She stopped and looked around. She was in front of Aunt Mary's house, and there wasn't a tree in sight. There's no trees around. There's something going on. So she continued on and heard the sound again. She thought the weather may be turning bad and looked into the sky, and there wasn't any clouds, just blue sky. She heard the sound again and stopped and looked into the sky. This time, she saw a cloud. She said, the cloud came down out of the sky and stopped right above her. She says, Jesus was standing on the cloud and spoke to her and said, fear not, the child shall be born, and you shall call his name John. Just as John the Baptist was the forerunner of my first coming, your son will be the forerunner of my second coming. She was frightened and took off running to her mother's house. She ran through the front door, out of breath. Her mother said, what's wrong with you? She said, you look like you've seen a ghost. And Lily said to her mom, told her what happened. And her mother said, don't tell anybody because they'll think you're crazy. Now, I want you to understand this. God moved in this thing. John, God has picked somebody not popular, out of the way, somebody, this whole thing. He tells Lily what's going on. Lily, you know, she's out here. She's in trouble in her own life. So why did God choose the way he does? Because God chooses what he does. You know, God does a lot of things in the background. And if people want to know about it, they're going to have to come to it. He don't drag everything right in front of you. This is, we want a Christianity that everything's put on the plate right in front of us. That's not the way God works. God did this in a hidden manner. He went and did this thing in a hidden manner. Now I want you to understand, she never told anybody about it. Her, Kenneth Hagin never found out about this thing till September 2nd, 1950. He had a couple hours where he was called up to heaven, but he also, Jesus talked to him about some things, and this is when he had the vision of the scroll and the horse and rider, and he read the scroll. That's, he never, Kenneth Hagin, you had to follow after him. If you wanted to know things, you had to follow. You weren't going to generally get it, because he might have had 2 hours in the spirit, but he would only tell maybe 15 minutes of it here or 15 minutes there. And if you didn't go and listen at certain times, when he would only tell if something was pertinent at the time to tell it. And if you didn't follow after things, you never really found out the whole story. Why? You got to seek. Oh, man, that's a rough thing for people today. Honestly, you ain't spending time to seek. There's a lot of people, ministers, think they know Kenneth Hagin. They never really got to know him. Never got to know what he was. They only knew him as a man. There's one thing that I was interested in. I want the revelation. I want the revelation that was given to that man. It's like John the Baptist. The revelation that was given to him is the most important, not John. You know, they'll paint pictures of the guy. They paint pictures of John, and they paint pictures of Jesus. It's all this stuff, you know. It's what's the natural. No, the Bible says this, New Testament. No man after the flesh. It says no man. My God, we've been guilty of sin. It's all we want to know is somebody after the flesh. We want to know. Man, we're living in a place. I mean, all dude, people want to take picture of each other downtown. I just read an article. They got an emergency because so many people getting hurt and getting killed taking selfies. They said in our nation, it's getting bad because so many people, and especially they said women are the number one problem. Women getting hurt and doing things. Every week, some woman's falling off a cliff somewhere trying to get herself a selfie, you know, of whatever's in the background. I hope she gets some good photographs on the way down. I don't know. Of her face with her mouth going, ah, the whole way out of the bus. It's like, good grief. People are nuts. But see, people on their phones. Hey, this all happens all the time. I can drive through Lebanon. I can get down through Lebanon, and you come up to people crossing the street, step out in the street and walk on the street, never look up once for a car, just sitting there looking at their phone, walking. See, we're into seeing, and we ain't hearing. We're into seeing and ain't hearing. And so we need to get over this. But anyhow, Kenneth Hagin had never heard this story about it. He never would see in September 2nd, in 1950, it's one of the things that happened then that Jesus told him what his mother saw. He never knew it. He was born in 1917. Here he is, 1950. It's the first that he hears about it. He don't know. See, why didn't God tell him? I will tell you this. You need to understand. There's revelations from God you will never hear till you mature enough to come to a place that if he gives it to you, you'll treat it right. I'm just telling you. It is. There's revelations you don't ever need to hear because you're going to be sorry you ever heard it if you didn't live right.
Amen.
Because you're going to be held accountable to it. Do you know, it's one thing, I've seen this already, watched it in reading, history of ministers. Wonderful ministry gifts. But people didn't really mature right in the gift. And it became their disaster. We don't need to be losing ministry gifts off the earth. We need them here. We need ministry gifts here. We don't need to lose them. We want them here. You know, God calls people to ministry. Now, understand this. This is what Kenneth Hagin said himself, and I want you to get this. He might talk even about his own ministry. He said this. He said, God's best is not to put special ministries in the earth like he does. That's not his best. Oh, we thought Orville Ropes were the best. Kenneth Hagin, all these, they're the best. He said, no. Jesus told him that's not the best. He said, the only reason I raise up those ministers is because people get away from the word and not walking in the light, and I have to send special ministries to bring people back. He's not doing this because it's the best. The church thinks he does this because we're somehow so spiritual. If we get real spiritual, he'll send really big gifts. No, you're already gifted.
Amen.
He sends because, see, the people don't walk in their gifts. He's going to get the gifts moves. He got to send somebody back special to do it. Kenneth Hagin said, you know, his gift went. You know, Kenneth Hagin said this. He said this himself. He said, Rhema Bible Training Center was not, he said, that wasn't the perfect will of God for us here in America. Well, my people sure fall off their chairs. Yeah, what do you mean it's not? The Lord told him this. He said, I raised up Rhema because the churches don't teach their people well enough, he said, to be in the ministry. So the Lord told him. See, we know very little about God. We have all this religious teaching and all these men saying all this stuff. They'd stop and listen. There's voices that God put in the earth that brought revelation they don't listen to because it doesn't fit their story. See, I learned from Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin said, you don't need any, he said, for you to be healed, you don't need any special gift in operation. He said, the greatest and highest level of operation, he says, is you believe the word and you act on it yourself.
Amen.
He said, that's the highest level of faith. The highest level of faith ain't going to Benny Hinn meeting. Thank God he does it because he's merciful in spite of our stupidity. He's merciful. So he does merciful things, and people think they've somehow arrived at the top of something. And they haven't arrived at the top of nothing. I'll tell you what, this message will go over like a lead balloon in a lot of places. I'll tell you. But I'm just telling, look, I'm just telling, it's a place where we walk. We don't have to play games about this stuff. We don't have to do.
Amen.
God wants to get in touch with you.
Hallelujah.
He sends people and brings a voice and speaks his word. But you must go to him to find out about it. You need to go to him. He's not going to tell everything through the person. He's not going to tell everything through me. You ain't got the time to sit down and listen to it. You know, most wouldn't even take the time anyhow. So it's just the way it is. See, we need to get in. So Kenneth Hagin, he finally finds out about it. Lord tells him. So he goes to his mama. And he goes in and he starts to tell his mom what Jesus told him. And when he started talking about Jesus, how Jesus appeared to her on the cloud walking down the street, he said she jumped up like somebody stuck her with a pin. Because this is the first time she ever talked about it. She never told anybody. Her mom was told about it. Nothing. Yet she's seen all this miraculous and stuff going that happened to Ken and all his time in ministry going up. But see, you know, people get over in an area, they get, you know. Well, and she didn't say nothing, but it was really good for Ken. Because really, Kenneth Hagin, about 1950, this is the place where he's mature to handle this about what it is. Because see, Kenneth Hagin never blew his horn. Do you know, it wasn't until a couple years before he passed on that he actually publicly talked about this? Why? He would never blow his horn. The only horn he'd blow was Jesus. Kenneth Hagin, he told us this. He hated to go to meetings where other people were. If he was at a meeting and somebody else introduced him, he didn't like it. He said, they get up and they talk, oh, you're this great man of God and blah, 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 blah. He said, I hate that stuff. He'd say this, I'm not a great man. I have a great God. Amen. He didn't like people blowing his horn. Oh, today, my words, it's all ministries do is blow their horn. Advertising, blowing their horn. Oh, we're going to this, and we're going to do that, and we're going to do this, and ain't none of heaven ever happened. But they need to knock it off. You don't go around blowing your horn. In my meetings, he said, I let my son introduce me because he knows not to do that stuff. Why? He started talking about this. He was called. See, we had one call. You need to understand, John's calling was, and we go into John. What happened when John got born? We go into this. There was no big horn blown. It was a guy who was a regular priest and his wife, and they're old. There's no big horn blown out in the open where everybody knows this and goes on. We have this. We think because we read it in the book, we know it. And it's known today about this because it's written in the book. It wasn't written in the book back then. Nobody knew about it. God picks a young woman, Mary, a nobody. Picks Joseph, not known anywhere. Does this thing. Goes to shepherds and show up in the field. How many of you think of people in Jerusalem listen to the shepherds? Ah. Oh. These guys are out there running around following the sheep butts around the place. Who are these guys? Who are they? We saw angels. Ah, they were probably sipping it out there. I'm sure it was cold. Probably had some stale bread and something happened. I don't know. You need to understand. This stuff is hidden. God didn't blow it through. Through some big name. He don't do that. This is one of the things that has halted the move of God in America. The so-called big names. Everybody's looking at the big names. We've got to stop this stuff. Who's God talking? What's God doing? I'm going to tell you I know everything, but I'm going to tell you this. I know the pattern. There's one thing. You know, the healing revivals of the 1950s came through none of the big names. Not one of them. Almost all the guys who rose up in ministries ended up raising up in during that time period were obscure. And God brought them up. You go back to the turn of the century. Azusa Street was started by the big names, wasn't it? It never is. That's the pattern. Today, the church is like the world. The more you get your name out there, the more the chance God's going to use you because God's going to use me because I'm popular. I had a guy tell me this who was sick and dying. He told me because he was well known, God was going to heal him because so many people knew him. If I mentioned the name, you'd know who it was. Well, I was at his funeral. I've learned how God works. I've watched how God works. That's what happens. See, people get over to their importance. Like, God can't replace me. Remember the sermon I did? I did a couple Sundays. You can be replaced. Took it through the scriptures on how you can, God replace people. Ain't anybody that big. Ain't anybody that big. We're going to go on this. We're not going to go any more today, but we're going to go on in this. And this teaching is one of the things we're going to see. See, God made an announcement, and God announced somebody on the scene. Kenneth, you know, we understand how important it is that we know that. If God used him. Now, he wasn't the same of John the Baptist It's just like nobody who had the same anointing as Elijah operated just like Elijah. And he didn't. Elijah, we take John the Baptist, and I like this because I thought Randall Greer put it very, really well. He said, John the Baptist encapsulated the second coming of Jesus Christ and his ministry completely, just him. He was the one. Kenneth Hagin wasn't that. Kenneth Hagin's anointing was to start a movement of God to get the church ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to think about this because of this, of how close we might be. If Kenneth Hagin's ministry was for the second coming, Jesus Christ coming for the church ain't the second coming. See, we have this they call Advent season. Advent means it speaks of the physical coming of Jesus Christ to the earth. Jesus Christ's second coming is his second advent. That doesn't happen till the end of the tribulation. How close are we to him coming and taking the church out? See, there's messages in the earth. See, we're called to carry messages. There are revelations that God gave Kenneth Hagin, and the church has moved away from them. They've moved away from John's revelation. They moved away. See, we're supposed to be calling people. God, in Kenneth Hagin, what he did was brought revelations to the church that had been lost. People weren't teaching. He bought this. Kenneth Hagin didn't even know. He didn't know them. He didn't know these revelations till Jesus called him up and took him in Scripture, showed him. He didn't know it. He talks about the things. Well, that stuff. He said, he went to church. Understand this. God's a healing ministry. He starts off, God uses him. He ministers people. He didn't know if God would heal a sinner. He didn't know if God would do it. You know God heals sinners. Don't think that's weird. I had a minister tell me he didn't believe God healed sinners. I didn't embarrass him, telling him, my God, he might even heal you. You never know. God heals sinners. Well, there wasn't many Christians in Jesus' ministry. So if God didn't heal sinners, then that was a whole fake message about all these people getting healed. The Syrophoenician woman was not a Jew under the Jewish covenant. There's all these weird ideas and these weird odd things out here. But see, God called. He got revelations, and those things were new to him. Do you know when Kenneth Hagin, Jesus gave him a revelation about casting out devils. He said, we didn't know nothing about this. He said, we didn't do this stuff in our church. We didn't know that we could do that. We used to pray and ask God to do things about the devil. We didn't know that he didn't do nothing about the devil. It was our job. He said, I didn't know that. He said, people think of the revelations that I teach like I knew them all my life. He said, loads of them I didn't know until later on. I found out about them. I know what he's talking about. There's things I found out muchly. I thought I knew some things. And I found out, things you find out about, it's like, oh my word, you get revelation. See, it's one of the things that we're supposed to be doing in the church world. We're supposed to be emphasizing those revelations. And we're not. Why? Number one, they have to do with getting the church ready. The church cannot be ready with their lack of knowledge. They will not reach the world with their lack of knowledge. The church has gotten to the point where they're scared to call people to repentance. They're scared to, oh no, Jesus loves you. Just ask Jesus in your heart. It's going to fix your life. And then you just go, you know, they don't tell them, say, hey, if you ain't going to live this thing, you know, you got to come and follow him.
Amen.
Jesus said, you know, you're like mommy and daddy and somebody else better than me. You ain't worthy of me. Mm-hmm. Huh? Well, we won't preach that. That don't sound as cute. I can't get checks preaching that stuff. Why? Because I'll have to believe God to bless me. See, we need to tell. It's coming back to the truth. John the Baptist was called to call men to repentance. And I'm going to tell you what. The message in the church right now, not to the world. See, we're going to go reach the world. Let's try to reach the church. The church needs to come to repentance. Israel was God's covenant people. He came to and calling the covenant people to repentance. The patterns don't change. The patterns don't change. See, I can stand up here and preach anything I want, but I got to have the word for it. You got to have the word for it. If people are saying, yeah, God, this God, I'm sorry. I think I've got to learn Kenneth Hagin. I got to know the revelation. That's why when God speaks to me and shows me stuff, He always shows me scriptures. He always shows me scriptures. Why? My spiritual daddy in the earth, the guy who taught me in the earth, taught me that. And I stuck to it.
Amen.
I didn't go on and think I knew more.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I knew that he did well by listening to the Holy Spirit and looking to the Word of God. And I thought, well, I need to do the same thing.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
I don't need another prophecy.
Amen.
I don't need another whatever. I don't need another book of what's going to happen with this year coming. I could tell you more than half these prophets could. I could have told you 10 years ago more about it. That, why? Get it from God. Of what's coming on the earth. Well, this year's going to be this, and this year's going to be that, and we listen to those things, and man, it's really changing lives. I know this. When people only prophesy one side, everything's going to be good, it's a false prophet. It's a lie. That ain't what's going to happen. Oh, I believe in good. But I'll tell you what, I believe ugly is going to be as ugly as good gets good.
Amen. Preach.
I'll just tell you this. Many Christians ain't going to do well.
Amen.
They haven't walked in the light. Mm-hmm. They haven't. And they're going to have a hard time. Why? Your only successes go to the light.
Amen.
You can't grow up overnight. You can't live out there and not live with it and then turn around and something bad happened and I'm just going to walk in the full blessing. It ain't happening. It don't work that way.
Amen.
I tell people. See, the warnings have been going up. There's been signs. We have signs that Jesus is coming back. We're seeing the decay in the earth. We're seeing the fulfillment. Paul said what people were going to get like in the end time. It's here. It's a sign of the time. And many believers are totally ignoring it. Totally. See, I'm a Christian. Just go on in their lives. Just living any old way. Just going on. Jesus is coming back. Well, how startled some people are going to be. How startled they're going to be. I don't want to get startled.
Amen.
If I get startled, I want it to be before Jesus comes back. I don't want to wait till it after he leaves. I see people say, well, you know, this is a down message. No, it ain't down for me. I don't feel bad at all.
Amen.
You walk in the light, you're not scared.
Amen.
You know, the job of the Holy Spirit is to show you things to come. You don't have to wait to Ed to hear it. The Holy Ghost, you should be picking things up. See, I always let people wait to hear, you know, what some prophet's going to say about something. I'm sorry. I mean, my God, you can know yourself. How would you know just because he says it? You have to have the witness of the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
See, we got to get over there. The job of the Holy Spirit is to show us things to come. Why? Why does he do that? So you and I can be ready ahead. You and I are ready ahead. We're not waiting until something happens and then we're trying to get ready. I can tell many things that I know ahead what's coming, even for some people. I can tell what's going to happen. I know. I don't know because, you know, God, there's just things that I just pick up in my spirit. I know. I've learned this over time. Sometimes I pick this stuff up and I think, well, you know, is this just me or yeah, I'm just picking this thing up and then it just keeps coming to me. Over time, it always proves out itself. Always proves out itself. Always. And I've learned it over time. Why? Your spirit picks up things in the spirit realm. It's not to hurt people. There's some things I've learned, the things I picked up. And God's given me messages to preach because I can see what's ahead and somebody needs to get things some strength right now.
Amen. Preach.
There's things they're going to be dealing with. God will give messages based on that fact. Now, everybody can be blessed by the message. Everybody can be helped. But sometimes it's specific. I've had messages specifically geared toward certain individuals. I've had that over the years. Toward certain individuals. I'll have messages. Will come to me. And I know exactly what it's for, what it's about, what it's for. It's to help an individual. And see, you got to know. Do you know when God's talking at you? See, this, I'm going to just tell you this. I've had people who have come to me personally on a number of occasions that God gave me messages specifically for them. And they came and said, but that really spoke to me, but never changed a thing. And you know what? God ain't talking no more. They knew it, and they ignored it. See, and some people, well, why did this happen? They came to me and told me. I even asked one person one time, did you ever listen to the message again? Well, no, I'll have to look. But God specifically spoke to you. And you don't have enough courtesy to Him to go back and listen to that over and over again. See, I learned. I listen 30, 40 times over stuff. God's talking at me. Sometimes my head don't get it right away. I think I heard something. It sounded like it was talking to me. But after a number of times I listened to it, I realized, oh man, I didn't have as much revelation on it as I thought I did. Give God opportunity to speak to you. Why? You seek, you find. You don't. That's why I said, you come and get ready coming to church. You don't just come in the door because you have to go to church, sit down, and you've been, you know, playing around, doing it last minute, and I'm rolling out of bed and hurry up and get into church and sit down. If you believe you're going to hear something from God, you ought to treat it better.
Amen. Preach.
Woo! Oh, my goodness. Yeah, what I, you know what I do? I get up Sunday morning and I say, God, do you have anything you want me to say today? Yeah. I can get in there by 9:30, I'm sure. And I'll get in there and say, hurry up and give it to me, honey, go in. Because I want to have my tea before I go. Well, what do you think a preacher would do like that? Do you think you could get away with it any better? But see, these things aren't taught. They're not said in churches. They're not taught. Why? Because the ministers have become, they love the people, the itching ears. We preach to the itching ear crowd, the ones, because if you don't, you ain't going to, it's going to be hard. You know, like Jerry Seville said, he goes, you know what? He said, I can guarantee this. He said, anytime in my church I preach commitment, we always have people leave. Mm-hmm. Always. Mm-hmm. Said, you can guarantee people leave the church. Mm-hmm. Commitment, we ain't having that. Mm-hmm. I'm a Christian. You know, I'm going to heaven. Jesus loves me. And everybody at Jesus loves is going to heaven for sure. Mm-hmm. See, if I'm sitting in the right church, well, you know, sure enough. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet if you can. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You know what? I'm just going to tell you this. See, I knew this morning we're going to, it's going to get serious. Why? Because we're in a serious, Messiah's coming back. The church is still focused on Jesus in the cradle because it's popular. And it fits the holiday. It fits what's going on. Look, I am so glad Jesus came in the flesh. I am so excited. But I am more excited about Him coming back for me.
Amen.
This is our day, folks.
Amen.
This is our day. This is our time. This is the time. We're going to see our Lord face to face.
Amen.
We're going to put on glorified bodies.
Hallelujah. Lord.
The fulfillment of redemption. You're not fully redeemed yet. Nobody in heaven is fully redeemed yet. We're all going to get the full redemption. And that full redemption is this for this purpose. Because God is going to make a new heaven and a new earth for us to live in. And the beings that are going to live there are going to be these glorified beings, the church.
Amen.
This is what we're coming to, folks.
Amen.
This is what's ours. We talk about it really in a sense. The church world talks about this so shoddily. Like this is, well, yeah, this is going to happen, isn't it? Man, this is so glorious. My little mind can't grab a hold of it. It's like my brain, it's like, this is out there. This is far beyond my mind says, man, whew. I got to believe it in my heart because my head can't get fixed on it. It's so glorious.
Amen.
What a God we have. What a plan. What a plan He has. And understand, we earn none of it. You earned none of it. You ain't getting in it because you would be nothing. If He hadn't sent your word and for you to believe, you'd be still as lost in your sin today.
Amen. Preach.
You didn't get saved because you were smart and had great.
That's right.
No, you were stupid. And God sent stupid the word. That's what He did to me. He said, look at this dumb guy. We got to do something to wake this boy up. this dumb guy, and he sent the word to Mr. Stupid, and I got Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Smartest thing I ever did. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
I don't have to be anybody. There's glory living in this. Why he'd come live in me, it's beyond measure. I don't know. But he did. He chose to come and live in us. If God, if Jesus would have saved us and just went off back to heaven, that would have been a glorious thing. But man, he said, no, that ain't enough. I'm moving in. Nah. I want to live with you. See, can we imagine God like that? God. He so wants to be with you. God, that's love. He wants to live in you. God literally wants to fellowship with you. Not just live inside of it. You know what? Many Christians walk around, God's inside of them, and they have no fellowship whatsoever.
Amen.
He's ignored. Oh, they say, yeah, Jesus is in me. Well, when are you going to ever act like that's true?
Amen. Preach.
He's in us.
Hallelujah.
You need help? Man, the helper done moved in. What is it that you can need to understand and know? That God couldn't tell you. That God wouldn't have information. Think of it. See, when the Bible says you have the mind of Christ, that's when I got the revelation. People always say, well, I said, you got to renew your mind. I'm sorry. The mind of Christ already lives in me. He's the Holy Ghost. He's the mind of God. Now, I got to take it on. But I'm not trying to get it. I got it.
Amen.
The mind of Christ is the Holy Ghost. And he lives everything that Jesus Christ would ever know, anything... past, future, whatever. It's all in us. It's inside there. It's like having a computer. You know what? You just got to take the time to type some things in. Quit asking the preacher to do it. Quit asking the preacher to do the typing. Quit asking the preacher to ask. You got the teacher in you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
God, from the time I got born again, from the very night I was born again, God showed me things about the future. Why? Got born again. The Holy Ghost is in me. Showing me things to come. Knowing, pointing me to the path that I'm going to have to walk. Pointing me to that path. I don't understand people. How do you know what to do and go? How do you? I want to know. Walking by faith is walking toward the future.
That's right.
It ain't walking toward the past. It's walking toward the future. You need to see to be able to walk toward the future. The Holy Ghost reveals the word to you so you can make steps toward the future. And you can walk it by faith. You say, yes, I see this. The word says that I can walk toward that. I can head toward that. That's what it's about.
Amen.
It's about your future. Hallelujah. The future of the church in the earth is coming to a close as we know it. It isn't the end, but as we know it right now. And the church is very ignorant of where they stand now and what's going on. And it should not be. It shouldn't be. We should be the brightest in the crowd. If anybody comes to ask you about it, man, I can tell you. You want to know what's happening? I'll tell you. Whether you want to believe it or not, don't matter to me. I done read the book about way things get in the future, and it ain't what people are saying. I believe the book. I know. You know what? Faith in God ain't worth spit if he can't take care of me when things are real bad. It ain't worth spit. Somebody can only take care of me when things are good. He ain't worth having. I want to tell you what. I don't care how tough it gets. God's with me. It ain't going to change.
Hallelujah.
It's not going to change. Get yourself into that mode.
Mm-hmm.
You don't be afraid of the future. I'm going to tell you, who's scared? The devil. His time's short.
Mm-hmm.
Most of what the devil's people are doing in the earth today is running because of their fears of life.
Amen.
And they're acting out because of their fears in life. They're driven by fear. The church shouldn't be in that place. I'm
Amen.
Driven by faith. There's glory. I'm walking into glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
My God, I get more anointed all the time when I step into
Amen.
The pulpit. I get a greater anointing on me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I get anointings on me at home. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But I'll tell you what, it's the day and the time for it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You're anointed by God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank God for the anointing on you. Do it. Use it with your mouth. Hallelujah. He didn't call me and say, well, Ed, do it the best you can. Well, we just might as well quit now and go home. Hallelujah. Because if he don't anoint, it's just Ed. We must have the anointing. And you need it in your life just as much as I do. You might be called to preach, but the Holy Ghost will reveal to you what you need to know and what you need. He'll verify things to you. He'll show you things. Hallelujah. He'll give you wisdom. There's stuff that maybe I don't know of, but you need to know at the time. There's a revelation that you need. He's not the place about, well, if nobody else knows about it, I guess if God didn't want us to know. If you need the revelation, He'll bring it to you. If you'll seek Him, you'll find it. I don't care if nobody else has ever preached it. Nobody else has ever taught it. It don't matter. Mm-hmm. If I take all the things that He taught me before I heard anybody else ever preach it. Dear Lord. Loads of stuff. There's one thing as I did find out. I listened to the guy who laid the foundation into me, and that's one of the reasons why I learned a lot that I learned. Because that foundation was something that could be built on.
Amen.
Today the church has such a weak foundation, and it's even having a hard time to build truth on it. Because the foundation is so weak.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I just consider myself so fortunate. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Father, I just want to thank You today. Hallelujah.
Thank
Lord,
you.
You're coming back for the glorious church. Glory to God. Lord, these people here hunger and thirst for righteousness. And You said if they were, they'd be filled. Hallelujah. Lord God, You're filling people. Lord God, we're seeking. We're looking. Lord, we want to know Your plans and Your purposes. We want to know Your desires. Lord God, I thank You for all the light that You've given us in the Word. I'm just so thankful for Your kindness to show us and teach us so we can see. But Lord God, as we go on in these things, continue to open our eyes so we can see. Lord God, we want to be effective in this time we're living. We want to be super effective for people. Lord, people need to be warned. Lord, there's different classes of people where they're sitting at in their believing.
Amen.
Lord, there's some people, they're going to need shaken right out of the place that they're in. You can sit and talk the love of God, Lord, all you want to them, and ain't going to change a thing. They need to be shaken where they're at. Lord God, You've called people to shake people up.
Amen.
You've called people. Lord God, You've sent people out. Lord, there's some people, Lord God, they're just sitting in the right place ready. They're primed. They're ready for the things to hear certain things come to You. But Lord, there's different people in different places and different situations. And Father, I want to thank You. We want to be used. And Lord God, especially as talking to the church today. Oh, Lord God, I just feel so bad for so many in the church world. Lord God, they've been lulled to sleep by preaching that they're all right. They're okay, you know. And Lord God, they're not all right. They're not okay. Lord, there's no fire burning in them anymore.
Amen.
Lord, they're in the place where they never judge themselves. They're in the places where they never deal with themselves. And Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, I want Your people to be ready.
Amen.
I want Your people. Lord God, I thank You for it. Lord God, it's easy to preach here. There's a hungry crowd. My words. But Lord, that is not everywhere. That's not at every place. And Father, we don't want You to come back and say, well, You didn't say anything. You didn't open Your mouth. Lord God, I don't want that said.
No.
Hallelujah. Lord, there's people who need warnings. There's people who just need to call love in, whatever it is. Hallelujah. We want to know. We want to know, Lord. We want to minister to all the groups.
Amen.
We don't want to just be a challenge. You're going to be all right. Lord God, we don't want to be that. We don't want to be that kind of a minister. Hallelujah. Father, we want You to be able to use us no matter where it is. Father, that we'll take the message maybe uncomfortable to people. Some messages are wonderful and fun to preach. But Lord God, not all of them.
Amen.
Not all of them. And I just want to thank You. Father, I believe You're raising up a people here in this place to carry the truth. Lord, that are not be afraid of. Lord God, Lord, You said if we live godly in Christ Jesus, we'd suffer persecution. So, I know this, Lord. Lord, Your guy Kenneth Hagin, You had me sit under. He said, if you're not getting, ever getting persecuted, it's because you don't live godly.
Amen.
Well, hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, Lord, I'd rather have You pleased with me than man.
Amen.
Because I realize I'm going to have to stand before You. Not before men, I'll have to stand before You. And Lord God, we want to stand before You, say, yes, we carried the message that was needed for the time.
Amen.
That we've done it. Hallelujah. And Lord God, we're not doing it to be mean to people. We love people. We want people in the Amen. Kingdom. We want people Amen. In. Lord God, there's no what other purpose that men get saved and go to heaven? There is no other purpose. There's not something else. And Lord God, oh, people, really, my heart, Lord God, you know, it really goes out to the church. And I believe that's one of the focuses you've given me is the church. I sure want to see the world reached. But really? Reach the world and Christians lost. Lord, that's hard for me to get a hold of. I don't want that to happen to nobody.
Amen.
To none. So I just thank you today. I thank you, Lord God, quickening our hearts. Lord, I pray of anything that we do, and this is to all of us and myself, Lord God, get our eyes off of people, get our eyes over on you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, I appreciate much the anointing you put on people to teach and preach, but Lord God, we don't want to follow men, we want to follow the Spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.